Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
As you're discussing this, I'm just thinking back to like hiring and recruiting process now, and how all these lessons, everything you're now, this is the million-dollar question. When you're trying to find somebody that's going to be successful in a role where you do have to eliminate certain not people in terms, but like if they don't have the skill set, they can't be in that role. So how do you bring over these lessons and learnings from your research and your market research and background, and then you bring these into an environment where you don't, where you get the right questions so you can get people who are qualified for a role, but you aren't removing anybody based on making them feel uncomfortable or...
Well, I think a couple of things. So one, just in terms of closing this conversation out, I think you can audit any process that you have. You can audit any thing that you're doing to really understand where bias exists. This is not just how we do research, right? You can take a look at the steps in anything that you do, marketing, recruiting, to understand, and just asking critical questions about where it can live. In terms of, if I'm working on an engagement or there's an opportunity, well, here's a really great example. I think you can, oftentimes it's how you're able to think about, learn, a particular skill set or a particular genre of information. And so if diversity and inclusion is important in your work or in your role, and you don't necessarily have that experience, then you bring in consultants. You bring in, I'll give you a great example. I was doing research for a CPG brand and a skincare brand, very successful skincare brand. And they were looking years ago to launch a new product for Black women. And just in a lot of the research they'd conducted, they realized that this was an opportunity. And they also realized that they sort of under-indexed with Black women, and Black women use a lot of skincare products. And so after I did the research, I made a number of recommendations that they absolutely loved. And they said to me, they were like, hey, do you know any consultants that we could like partner with to bring this to market? Because we don't know anything. And I was like, me, I can do it. I had to figure out how to do it with my company. And they literally brought me in as a quote unquote voice of the consumer consultant. Now, what I ended up doing in large part was a lot of the things that I did in my past life, writing briefs for the media company, for the advertising agency. I would help talk them through, creative and what could be potential issues. As the voice of the consumer, I was bringing a lot of this perspective throughout the creative development process. I was literally an extension to the brand team for about 9 months. And it went all the way, I went to the commercial shoot, which is what I would have done in advertising, helping them with casting, how to think about this. And it ended up launching very successfully, being one of their most successful launches, literally in their 100-year history. And what was fascinating about that, their agency lineup never changed, right? Their insights team never changed. And they had a good amount of diversity, but what they realized was they didn't have the skill set needed for this project. And so I think companies can do a number of things. You can bring in assistance when you need it, particularly in the short term as you figure out how to ramp up for the long term. So I think there are ways to, and now in this day and age, I'm sure it's so much easier to pull in freelance or consulting talent than it would have been in the past. But again, I think working through your networks to figure out who might be best suited to bring in that perspective, whether it's a short or on a long-term basis. And I think I think the other thing that's really interesting about diversity and inclusion is, helping people realize that this is not just an initiative for HR. This is not just an initiative that lives in one part of the organization. It's really a route to innovation, or can be thought about like change management initiative. And from that perspective, everyone should own it. And so whether you feel like you're part, you have some sort of diverse identity, or the initiatives are targeting you, it still should feel like your responsibility to help make the organization more diverse or inclusive or equitable.
Yeah.
And from that perspective, everyone can participate, because at bare minimum, even if you're not one, if you're not part of one of these marginalized groups, you know how to navigate your organization and that culture, and you can be a bridge.
So one point, because that's going to segue into another story that you're telling me before. See, I told you we should have just done these stories at the beginning, because they're all really good stories. Anyway, so one point on this. So let's not diminish how important this is for diversity, but everything that we just discovered and spoke about for the past 30 minutes, these are all just best practices in terms of taking any product to market. There's no different. Like, if you already know if you understand the concept of taking a product and getting the data points and the research and the consumer insights, apply that with the same tenacity that you would when you want to make money to the other parts of your organization. And that's really what it is at its core.
I think the challenge is it's easier for people to understand or spot discrepancies when they're part of that group, because they know automatically something's wrong, right? And so the challenge is, how do you spot discrepancies if you're not part of that group?
Okay, so tell me the story about, you said you were working with an organization. A guy comes up to you, I think, and he says, like, hey, I'm not part of any of these groups. How can I help? Because I'm sure, like, let's be honest. I'm pretty sure that has gone through the head of many people in many companies over the past 2 years, right?
So to set it up, doing work for a media company, and, you know, so many brands today, they want to learn more about the evolving demographics in the country. You know, when you look at Gen Z, for instance, and that's what I find so interesting about Gen Z. So the oldest person in Gen Z right now is maybe 24, right? Gen Z is the most diverse generation that we have. It's almost 50% people of color. In some parts of the country, like California, it's 60% people of color, right? And so one of the things that we have to keep in mind, like, if we're creating products that literally appeal to the future, they need to feel diverse and be inclusive, right? Not only for the 50 or 60% of the people of color, but also for the 40 to 50% people who are not of color, because they're accustomed to being with people of color, right? It's just a higher expectation. And so because of this, as we are helping our client partners, you know, understand changing demographics and how to think about consumers, how to think about Gen Z, how to think about all these things, we often conduct these like workshops to help them action the learning and potentially understand any barriers that might exist in their organization to reaching this type of, you know, inclusion, diversity, et cetera. And so doing, you know, a series of workshops with about anywhere from 10 to 15 people. And you have to think, a lot of these people are in these workshops with their boss. We're trying to understand, you know, where in their processes, where, you know, they could be more inclusive, more diverse, and talking about many different things. So in some ways, a very uncomfortable conversation. And one of the things I didn't expect was a few people actually reached out to me after the session to talk. And one gentleman that reached out to me, you know, he said, say, when I do these workshops, I always like to tell people that I come from a place of abundance, right? This isn't a zero-sum game. It's not about loss at all. It's how do we improve the processes that we have so that it can feel more inclusive for everyone. So that's always the premise, sort of like positivity. And so, you know, reached out to me afterwards, and he's like, I'd love to talk, because I'm still struggling with some of this, and I didn't necessarily feel comfortable saying everything around my boss. And so we ended up having this conversation, and he said to me, you know, I know my company isn't very good at like diversity and inclusion. And he's like, I don't know how to think about this. He's like, I'm literally a white guy from the Midwest. He's like, I felt very comfortable talking to you. So he's like, I just feel like I need ideas. Like, I want to be on the bandwagon, but like, how do I do this? And so I said to him, I was like, first and foremost, you know, as I mentioned before, this is about abundance. So I think it's always about making the processes that you have in place better. But I think the key thing to understand is it's not only about bringing more diverse people in. That's surely a part of it. But you need a champion on the inside to really bring this to life. And you need people who understand how to navigate the culture. And so that's definitely something that you can do. The other thing I would say is recognize what diversity you bring to the table as well. Because just because you're a white man doesn't mean that you don't bring a unique perspective to the table, because diversity is not just about racial diversity, right? You know, you're working in California. How many people on your team are from the Midwest? I'm sure you bring a perspective, an upbringing.
Yeah, but also a frame of mind too.
I think he said, yeah.
No, it's true. But I was going to say, like, a frame of mind, like the fact that the guy's asking you this question is indicative of enough that there's somebody that wants to do something or change something in a good way. So that's a major. Yeah.
Of course. And is scared, because, you know, oftentimes I think when a lot of firms make these decisions, and, you know, every firm, every brand is on a different journey. But sometimes people don't understand what the actual goals are. We want to be more diverse. What does that mean? And all types of employees are asking questions internally, not just the Black people or the Hispanic people or the LGBTQ plus people, right? Everyone wants to know what this means and what we're actually working towards. And I think having clear, you know, clearly articulated goals on that front is really important.
Very good. Very good. So, you know, it's so funny when we first started this conversation, you're like, well, we can talk about a whole bunch of things. And then, like, you know, diversity is like a portion of like what I do. And then you go into like this, you like the most clinical, like educational, like, I feel like, you know, I just got like a full behind the curtain view of how we should actually look at diversity. It was very, very good. Thank you. Really. Like,
no, you're welcome. I mean, one of the things I love about diversity and inclusion, just as sort of like a topic area, it's the thing that I love about qualitative research. It's interdisciplinary. It can apply to everything. And so you can end up having, you know, I didn't really think about it at the time, but when I was in college, you know, I was a double major, and Afro-American studies, for instance, they had professors from almost every different department. They had history professors, they had English professors, they had sociology professors, you name it. Because it was literally interdisciplinary. And so as I think about diversity and inclusion, I literally think about it that way. You can get experts from anywhere, because it can apply to every category, every business topic, everything.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.